Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. To you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you could fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean, because they have a funky live chat function on the site. They'd be more than happy to help. Now, today I am joined by Jeff Atkinson, founder and CEO at Huckaby. Jeff, how are you?
Doing great, Andy. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, you're from the wonderful state of Utah, not very far from the Great Salt Lake, a place called, remind me what the Park City, isn't it? That's right.
Yep. I'm originally from the Boston area, but yeah. Now I reside in the mountain town of Park City, Utah.
Fantastic. And that's pretty close to Salt Lake City as well, isn't it? It's what, just about 10 kilometers, something like that?
Yeah, it's about a half an hour drive.
Yeah. It sounds like a wonderful part of the world. What's the weather been doing? Has it been good last few days?
Yeah, it's beautiful here. So we're a mountain town. It's about 7,000 feet in elevation. And so the summers here are perfect. It's 75 and sunny, and then it gets cool at night. And summers in Park City are about as good as it gets.
So it sounds like perfect waking and sleeping weather. And I hear the lake causes a very interesting type of snow, doesn't it?
It does, yes. The Great Salt Lake creates what they call the lake effect, which basically means that storms that come in will pick up moisture off the Great Salt Lake. And because it's salt water, it creates really wonderful snow that just these storms stick on what's called the Wasatch Front. Yeah. And we get some of the best snow on Earth. They call it champagne powder. It's a really cool phenomenon that makes this a wonderful place to ski.
It sounds like it's literally like icing sugar.
It is. Yep.
Do you have icing sugar in the US? We have it in the UK. It's very, very fine sugar. Right. Less about the weather. Let's talk about what you do. Tell us first a bit about yourself and a bit about Huckaby.
Yeah, for sure. So I come from a digital marketing background. I was the SVP of marketing and analytics at Overstock.com. Now I'm the founder and CEO of Huckaby. Huckaby does what I call performance-based SEO software. So a lot of the SEO software out there is very analytical, meaning it's telling you about rankings and what's wrong with your site and whatnot. We're actually on the performance side. So we look at what Google really wants out of a website. We queue that up in software that helps our customers basically be aligned with what Google wants out of a website. Turns out if you align with what Google's looking for, you get great SEO growth. And so that's really what we focus on.
And I'll come back onto that later because that's a really interesting area. I mean, Huckaby, tell us a bit actually how the name came around, because there's a nice story behind that, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a great story. My nephew is actually named Huck, and I was searching for names. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, so I'd buy domains. And one Christmas, my family was all here in Park City, and I was looking at domains, and my sister used to call my nephew Huckaby. She still does sometimes, but she did a lot when she was young. My mom kind of gave me a nudge, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it was available and I bought it. And then years later, when I started Huckabye and I showed people kind of all the domains that we had that could potentially be the company, Huckabye was the one that just stood out. Everybody loved it. They could remember it. And it's a .com. So we feel very fortunate to have our name because it has a kind of cool story behind it. And it's a catchy name.
Now, you mentioned about Google in your introduction. Now, Huckabye it talks a lot about Google's perfect world, doesn't it? What does that actually mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I always say that, you know, websites are always built for human beings. And we spend tons of time and money and energy on UI, UX, what's the user experience. I argue that in any given day, the most important visitor is actually this little Google bot. And their experience typically is not nearly as clean and crisp as what a human's experience is. HTML is confusing. JavaScript's confusing. So our sort of mantra at Huckabye is, well, what would a website look like if it was built just for Google and not for a human being? And so that's really Google's perfect world. There's a bunch of things that sort of fall into this category. One is, you know, right off the top of my head is page speed. So they love sites that are very fast. The faster a site is, the easier it is for them to crawl. They like sites that aren't very dynamic, meaning they don't have a lot of dynamic content. They're just flat HTML. One example I use as sort of Google's perfect world is Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's a very fast site. It's very straightforward. It's flat HTML. I'd also put what a language called structured data markup, which most SEOs are familiar with, into this category of Google's perfect world. It's a language that is Google's preferred language of receiving information. And when you layer this language on top, you're basically now speaking their language and communicating with them directly. So all those things sort of fall into what we put as Google's, what we think is sort of Google's perfect world. And we then try to make our customers' sites with our software basically speak their language and give Google the perfect version of any given website.
Mm. We'll speak more of this later. I feel like I should be stroking a cat when I say that. before we do, you mentioned Overstock, and it had tremendous growth, didn't it? Is it 0 to 300 million?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it was a great run. Just incredible growth. So we literally went from, you know, around 2005, we didn't really even know what SEO was. And then we were paying for, you know, we were doing a lot of PPC. We were doing a lot of affiliate spend. You know, most of our marketing was paid media. And so we learned that, boy, you could optimize a site and be getting all this free traffic. And so we basically did everything, you know, we tried everything under the sun. Once it gained enough momentum and it became such a big channel, you know, the ROI on it was so much higher than any other channel that we would really invest and try almost everything we could. You know, we had a team of something like 40, 45 people, most of which were software developers working on optimizing our site for Google and to just really grow. So it was a crazy ride. We were on the front lines. We were trying everything. I think that kind of gave me the experience to really learn what works and what doesn't. And we were so, you know, so on the leading edge that we could actually see exactly, you know, what Google was doing when they came and crawled and how it affected rankings and how our site changed and made it better. So yeah, it was an incredible run, kind of led into my passion for SEO. We did a lot of other great things at Overstock as well, but that was one in particular that really stood out and ended up giving me the idea that, you know, I always view SEO as really a technical problem. And
yeah.
So, by takes that approach. We take a much more technical approach, whereas the industry is much more sort of a services-driven industry. So that's sort of the differentiator around Huckabye.
Now, you talk about being predictive around SEO as opposed to being reactive. I just wonder if you could drill down into that a bit.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, what's interesting about the SEO industry, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is that it is very services driven. And by that, I mean, you know, there's a lot of agencies, there's a lot of consultants. In my mind, the fundamental problem, though, is very technical. And so you have to align, you know, Google has to be able to read the site and read the site accurately. When I talk about being predictive, because the industry is so services driven, it is led to be relatively reactive. So as algorithm updates happen, everybody, you know, freaks out and tries to figure out what happened and how to adjust. we've found that if you listen to Google, they're pretty open with where what they want and where they're going. So, you know, there's certain aspects of their algorithm that each time they make a change, it's going to be some of these changes are going to be included. The classic example is mobile. So each algorithm update makes their search engine more mobile friendly. And that's just not going to change because as time goes on, people are accessing them more and more with mobile. Voice search is a great example.
Yeah.
A lot of algorithm changes happen around voice search. Structured data, you can see every single algorithm update starts to include more and more structured data. And so we sort of really pay attention to those things and become much more predictive of kind of where they're going and what they want. It's not even so much being predictive as it's just listening and then aligning the product to what they want. That ends up being much more predictive than reactive. So fortunately for our customers, because our software is built in this way, we actually root for algorithm updates. Meaning when an algorithm update happens, our customers typically jump in terms of performance, and we haven't done anything different in terms of our software. It's just that their algorithms are heading in these directions. So that's what I mean by being predictive. And it is an industry that's very reactive. It's an industry, in my opinion, that's a bit outdated, and a lot of strategies that companies are employing are no longer relevant. And so we're trying to get ahead of the curve.
You mentioned that Google is actually pretty forthcoming with what they want. What does that need to mean by that? Is it the sort of overarching direction they're going in, or do they sort of, are they quite vocal about sort of what they're doing?
You know, they are. They have a, you know, big conference, Google I.O., that reveals a ton of very useful information. It actually wasn't too long ago. You know, I wouldn't say it's the easiest information to find, but if you can catch their developers talking about what they're working on, it really is informative. Take a topic like something called dynamic rendering. So dynamic rendering, when I talk to SEO people, most of them honestly haven't even heard of the term. And it's such an important term in terms of what is happening in SEO. Dynamic rendering basically just means that a page will render differently based on what calls it. So the example is, you know, if I go to a URL on my mobile device, I get one experience. If I go to the same URL on my desktop, I get a different experience. And that's all well and good. And Google encourages that. It's the best practice. And that's all good. The big change was that they said recently they can actually give a version for them. So now you can actually make sort of a perfect world version of a site specifically for Google. And that's a really important topic that actually our CTO, who watches them very, very closely, figured out. And so we actually then built a product around dynamic rendering that allows complicated sites. We actually build sort of that Wikipedia perfect world version of a site for them to absorb. So that's what I mean. They are relatively open. I wouldn't say they shout it from the rooftops, but if you listen, they are quite open with what they want.
You mentioned earlier, actually, something that I really like, because I'm a software developer, so I get rather sort of, I start rubbing my thighs when I hear the term structured data. And it's something we've spoken on this show about a few times. It's been a while, I think, since we mentioned it. Do you think that SEO technologists don't use structured data enough? Do you think it's underused?
I do think it's underused. I think the really good SEO technologists use it very in-depth. The ones that are winning are realizing just what an impact it has. Sites are complicated, and you know, some sites are structured in a way where it's pretty easy for Google to understand. You know, you've got the Overstocks of the world where there's these really well-described categories like men's watches and patio furniture, and they're all the same format. Same thing when they get to a product page, that's the same format across the board.
Yeah.
And then Overstock will have an API of all their product information back to Google. So they kind of get a site like that. But if you take a big B2B software company like Salesforce, who we're very fortunate to have as a customer, all that structure goes out the window. And so they know Salesforce is extremely important. They have a huge, very high domain authority. So they want to know everything they can about Salesforce, but the site doesn't lend itself to be structured in a way to really allow them to do that. It's much more complicated products.
Yeah.
There's lots of integrations. There's just lots of stuff happening. And so when you layer structured data on top of some of these websites that are somewhat confusing for Google, the impacts are pretty incredible. And so that's where we've kind of really polished up on the science of structured data and made sure that our customers have what we call world-class structured data. And the results are pretty impressive. Our average customer over 12 months is up 62%. And these are dealing with, you know, very, very large businesses. I mean, we work with companies of all sizes, but, you know, that kind of growth can really impact a business in a pretty significant way.
Yeah. So for our listeners, what do you think they should be thinking about as they walk away from this podcast? I can't think of a better term than walk away, finish listening to this podcast. A key takeaway for our audience today, what might it be?
Yeah, I think that it's a bit of a whole new world in terms of SEO, and that Google is moving, you know, you have this ferocious market leader in Google that's moving a million miles an hour. And so what they're doing and what they want ends up being extremely important. And so being technical, having technical SEO people, of course, you know, we'd love to work with whoever wants to get on the leading edge of this world, but at Huckleby, but you really do have to be, you know, the older tactics of sort of blogging and a pure content strategy, what we've found is just, it's not the modern world. And content happens a lot more organically now. And you then have to basically communicate. Your communication to Google is extremely important. And that's really what Huckleby is built to do, is help a site communicate as well as they possibly can to Google. So that'd be my takeaway. I think it's a new world. It's changing very quickly, and you got to stay on top of it.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Huckleby?
Well, first off, thank you so much, Andy, for having me. I'm a big fan, and it's an honor to be on here.
Absolutely.
Probably the easiest way is just to go on huckleby.com. You can contact us there. To your listeners who I know are sophisticated SEOs, honestly, you can just shoot me a note. It's just jeff@huckleby.com, Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F.
Yep.
And if you want to find me on LinkedIn, you know, search for Jeff Atkinson Huckleby, and you'll find me on LinkedIn, and feel free to send me a message. And if it's not me that can answer the question or the inquiry, someone on our team, certainly I'll put you in touch with the right people. So yeah, appreciate that.
Well, thanks for coming on, Jeff. And the show notes will be in the usual place, which is sitevisibility.co.uk/IM podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. That would be fab. Questions and suggestions for future topics and even guest suggestions, send those to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at sitevisibility. Don't forget we have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Jeff.
Thank you, Andy. Such a pleasure.
Thanks for coming on, Jeff. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.